Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. If you're new to the channel, consider subscribing and smashing that thumbs up. Make sure to download your favorite scary story and follow me on Spotify and Apple Podcast, Tales from the Dark Forest. Now, let's get spooky. The first time I saw the creature was 2 days ago on my way to work. It was early morning, around 6 a.m., and I was driving down the street when I saw the strangest-looking snowman I had ever laid eyes on. It was taller than any ordinary snowman, made with four large round boulders of ice instead of the usual three, and it had extra arms as well. Some sticks came off from its thorax like giant insect legs, three sticks on each side, crooked and knobby. Two more branches were protruding from its face, like warped, mishapen mandibles. It had a wicked grin with sharp teeth made of jagged, broken stones. Wow, what kind of creepy-ass kids built a snowman like that? I asked myself aloud, picturing Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes and his demented snowman escapades. Only this was not funny. It was highly disturbing for some reason I couldn't put my finger on it. The effect was terrifying. Like a giant insectal snow alien. A totem of ice made for a malevolent frozen god. And worse yet, its gaze seemed to follow me as I drove past in the low light of the morning. Surely, just my imagination, I told myself. Tired eyes and not enough sleep. But still, I glanced in the mirror and saw its head was turned in my direction when I had been certain it had been facing the other way before. I shuddered involuntarily and continued driving, feeling like a dark cloud was following me for the rest of the day. On my way home later, I was pleasantly surprised to see that the snowman had been taken down. I realized I had been holding my breath as I turned onto the street I lived on, oddly afraid as I approached the house where the snow creature had been structured. Maybe the kid's parents found the thing as creepy as I did, I thought to myself. Either way, I was glad to see it gone. Continuing down the street to my house, I backed into my driveway, then looked up and froze when I saw the exact same snowman was now on my neighbor's front lawn across the street. Its head turned so it was looking straight at me. Its extra legs and arms appeared to be waving in the strong winds, making it look animated and alive. I got out of the car, eyeing the snowman across the road suspiciously. "Hey, Jordan," said a weaselly voice to my left as I set my foot down on the slick driveway. Caught off guard, I slipped on the black ice. After windmilling and sliding for a few scary moments, I recovered my balance by grabbing onto the hood of my car with both hands. Turning, I looked to see my neighbor Bill was standing there on a ladder, putting up Christmas lights and eyeing me strangely. I realized I had made a high-pitched yelp of fear when he had spoken, right before my awkward little dance on the ice.
"You alright?"
"Fine," I said. "Just surprised me, that's all." He laughed as if it was the funniest thing in the world.
"Quite a show last night,"
he said, his words punctuated by the punch of his staple gun into the wood beneath the eaves.
"Once in a lifetime, if you ask me."
"Huh?" I said, confused. "What show?" He laughed again.
"The Northern Lights. Didn't you see them? Better than a movie, man, I'll tell ya. They say that sort of thing doesn't come along very often, not this far south."
"Had to go to bed early for work. Must have missed it." He whistled softly.
"Oh, that's a tragedy. You won't get a chance to see that again. Nope. Once in a lifetime. They say it so on the local news this morning."
I had always found Bill's voice to be slightly annoying, like a weasel or a field rodent of some kind. Although it did match his facial features and mannerisms. He moved quickly and constantly, jumping from project to project as if he didn't have a real job, just housework. His Christmas decorations were always the nicest on the street, and yet he was still putting more lights up. Meanwhile, we've been too busy to even put up the wreath or the Christmas tree. He had a giant snowblower parked just inside his open garage, which I loathed with a passion. He was out every morning at 6 a.m. using it, even on weekends. His driveway and sidewalks were always immaculate and free of snow. Ours was usually the opposite of that.
"Hey, Bill, do you see that snowman across the street?"
I asked. He turned on the ladder just slightly to look over his shoulder, and then went back to stapling. Clack, clack, clack.
"Yeah, it's a snowman, so?"
I could have sworn. I stopped myself, realizing how crazy it all would sound.
"What?"
"Nothing, nothing. Just had a long day. I must be imagining things. I'll talk to you later, Bill." I began walking inside and he called after me.
"Oh, by the way, don't forget to shovel the walkway on your side. I saw a bylaw officer out earlier. We wouldn't want you to get another ticket like last week."
"Sure, thanks, Bill,"
I said, trying to maintain my composure. He probably called them himself. After a 12-hour shift, the last thing I wanted to do was to go back outside in the cold and shovel the icy walkway under his scrutinizing gaze. Bill always acted friendly, but it was well known he resented most of the neighbors for various reasons and relentlessly gossiped about everyone. I went inside and found my wife was laying down in bed with a headache. She had left a note out saying that she wasn't feeling well and I'd have to make my own dinner. After popping a frozen pizza into the oven, I went out to shovel the sidewalk, spreading salt on the driveway so that it would hopefully melt by morning. As I looked up from my work, I couldn't help but notice the snowman again. And it was closer this time. Yes, it almost certainly was. Almost at the street now, as if approaching me very slowly. I shook my head and finished with my shoveling, then returned to the warmth of my indoors. My pizza had been forgotten about, and the house was beginning to fill with grayish smoke and the charcoal smell of cheap burnt pizza dough. After airing out the house, I made a can of beans and toast and went to bed, still feeling slightly hungry, my mind running through a strange idea over and over again. The thoughts seemed ridiculous, far-fetched and bizarre, and yet I couldn't stop circling it. My dreams that night were terrible, but I forgot mostly everything the second I woke up, being left with only the unease of knowing I'd been chased in my sleep by something cold and evil, with too many legs and beady black eyes. For 8 hours, I had restlessly slumbered and fought a demon in my dreams. And so when I rolled out of bed, I was still exhausted and my eyes refused to stay open without a concentrated effort. Coffee helped, as it always did, and I ventured out into the cold darkness and scraped off the car for my morning drive to work. Suddenly, I was shocked wide awake when I looked up to see the reflection of the snowman creature from across the street standing right behind me. My heartbeat was suddenly hammering hard in my chest, and I actually dropped the ice scraper from my hand. I turned around and saw the thing had been standing just inches away. Certainly, it had not been there a few moments before. I began to feel shaky and sick with fear. Getting into my car without turning around, I gunned the engine, not wanting to break eye contact with the snowman. The black coal eyes stared back at me as the engine began to rev, and I drove away, unsure of what else to do. Would anyone believe me if I told them? Driving away down the street, my rational mind began to make up excuses instantly. "You were so tired, you just didn't see it in the dark," my brain told me. "Snowmen don't move by themselves. It's just the local college kids moving it around, playing tricks on the neighbors." "Living snowmen, that's ridiculous. These things don't happen in real life." The day passed quickly while I was at work. We were so busy that I didn't even think about the snowman for most of the day. That was until I was leaving and getting in my car to drive home. I had fully convinced myself that at this point it was all just kids playing pranks. That I had just been tired and hadn't noticed they moved the snowman into the divide between my house and Bill's. We live in semi-houses that are connected together in the middle, so we share the small, narrow lane between our driveways. I pulled up to our house, the evening light now completely gone and replaced by the darkness of the night. My stomach was rumbling with hunger after a long day at work, and I began to park. Then, I stopped in my tracks. The snowman had moved again. Now it was right in the driveway, blocking it so I couldn't park. "It's just the college kids," I told myself, and parked on the street instead. I walked back to my house, feeling uneasy as the snowman glared at me, appraising me as I came closer. The creature's head was lowered like a bull about to charge, and I could barely make out its eyes looking at me from beneath its brow, hateful and staring. The effect was terrifying, making him look demonic and malicious somehow. Something else caught my eye. For the first time I had ever seen, Bill's driveway was not perfectly clear of snow. His sidewalk likewise had a few inches piled up on it. This was very strange, considering how OCD he was with his household upkeep. There was something else, too. His garage door was slightly ajar, and the light was on inside. There was a sound coming from the interior that I didn't like one bit. It was like the sound my cat made when eating wet food, sloppy snarfing and dribbling. I couldn't help it. Despite my fear, I was overwhelmed with curiosity and needed to see what was making that horrible noise. It sounded large and inhuman, and I needed to know for certain if my suspicions were correct. Walking past the hideous snowman, I pulled open the garage door and gasped, horrified at what had been revealed behind it. Shovels, rakes, axes, saws had been knocked from their organized places and were strewn everywhere. Bags of salt and soil had been spilled, and the light bulb hanging from the ceiling was off its axis, crooked and flickering. And at the center of all of this was Bill, or at least, what remained of him. He had been eviscerated and disemboweled. The top half of his body now completely separated from the legs, his torso and cavity of mangled flesh and ruined organs. Surrounding Bill were several of the snow creatures, now horizontal and standing on all six legs like giant insects. They were feasting on him and his vital organs. They acted like a pack of wolves, tearing him apart and rendering flesh from the bone, snapping at one another greedily as they fought over the choicest morsels. I saw Bill's eyes were still open and he was blinking, somehow alive despite all of this, his mouth making soft, bubbling, gurgling sounds as blood poured out from between his lips. Then, there was a soft, crunching noise behind me, and I spun around to see the other snowman creature from outside. It was crawling up behind me like a giant spider, creeping so quietly across the snow I had barely heard it. It saw me and hissed a warning to the others, who likewise turned and hissed like cats. They began to skitter across the cement floor towards me as the other one did the same, even closer to striking. Terrified, I searched the nearby space for a weapon. A snow shovel caught my eye and I grabbed it and spun it with my hand. It made contact with the face of the creature, just as it was leaping at my midsection with its branch-like arms outstretched. The feeling was like taking a swing at a brick wall, and the handle rattled and vibrated in my hand painfully after the impact. But it seemed to do the trick. The creature's teeth were crooked and its head deformed from the blow, and it made a noise like an injured dog as it retreated and ran from the house. The other three creatures were momentarily stunned by my attack on their lookout, but they regained their composure quickly, seeing I was outnumbered. They raced towards me and I panicked, throwing the shovel at one of them in front like a javelin. The blade of the shovel cut through the creature's face like a knife through butter, exposing its alienoid brain matter. The fountain of green blood began to spur out from its exposed brainstem, and it was crumpling dead to the floor. Two of them were left, but I was without a weapon now, and they sensed their opportunity. They moved towards me, and I only had a few moments to think of a way to respond. They were far too quick to outrun. I'd never make it to my house or my car. Then, the snowblower caught my eye. I remember when Bill had bought the damn noisy thing. He bragged about it for months, showing off its features to anyone who would listen. He was particularly fond of the push-button start mechanism.
No more pulling the start cord over and over in the freezing weather, Jordan. This baby is top of the line,
he told me one day excitedly, demonstrating it for me. With no other options, I grabbed it quickly and pulled out the choke, then tipped it over to hit the green button just as the creatures dove at me, their jaws wide open and dripping blood. I wedged my feet beneath the base and lifted the snowplower up a few feet into the air with all my effort. The creatures had never encountered anything like a snowplower, I guessed, since it caught them completely off guard. One of them jumped right into it, sending green blood jetting from the top of the machine and spreading it all over me and the ceiling above. I was just left with one more creature, who no longer seen its odds, after seeing me murder three of its friends. It escaped out the garage door, and I felt alone in the cold, breathing heavily and feeling utterly exhausted. Bill took one shuddering breath himself and was completely still after that. I stumbled out of the garage, feeling like I had fallen into another world. I looked around and saw I was alone. Trembling from fear and shaking from the cold, I was about to pull out my phone to call the police. But then I heard a soft crunching sound again. This time, not just from one place, but from all around. Following the sounds, I looked around to see not one, but dozens of the snowman creatures coming from all around, from every direction, drawn in by the calls of their injured comrades. They flooded the street. My house was blocked by one of them and more moved from the other side, but the way to my car was still clear. I ran to it as fast as I could, opening the door and climbing inside quickly. I started it and peeled out of my parking spot just as they surrounded my car and began to hammer on the windows, their branch arms squealing and scraping across the glass. Fleeing the neighborhood, I got to a safe spot and called my wife. There was no answer. The local police weren't picking up either. I'm trying to sort out my thoughts now, trying to figure out what to do next. But it seems like no matter what I do, the outcome will be the same. These things multiply too fast. They're too strong and too quick. I hope my wife is okay. I'm building up my courage to go back and try to find her. I wish more than anything I'd stayed to fight, just so I would know she's all right, and that I could give her this message. Christine, if you're reading this, Bill said we can borrow his snow plower.